Now at 11:02, according to that very same WMFO digital clock, you are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I'm Belinda, and this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. It's two, oh, it's more than two, of the silliest hours of radio programming imaginable on this Saturday evening. It's all the silliness you can stomach, all the silliness you can shake your stick at, and we have been double-dong daring you since 1990. Can you take it for more than 2 hours? Right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Coming up in around about 80 minutes? Well, let's call it somewhere between the midnight 15 and 30 hour. It will be time for the radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days and weeks. I want to thank everybody yet even again for all of your assistance in last week's Jeopardy program. Your voices were simply lovely. You did a fabulous job helping me out. Thank you all so much. But this week, you don't have to worry about having to do any work yourself, because I've been doing all the work. Oh, but the work hasn't been on the show. Of course it hasn't. I decided, since I had no plans for this holiday weekend, none whatsoever, that instead I would nest. A gal's got a nest sometime. And I'm frequently reminded of that when I hear the birds in the bamboo, the very, very tall bamboo behind my apartment. It's lovely to hear them out there. And so, tonight's show, it's for them. Oh, it's also for you, the listener. It's for all of us. What am I saying? But what self-respecting gal, much like myself, wouldn't be trying to put together her own love nest right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank?
Just a love nest, cozy and warm, like a dove nest down on the farm. A veranda with some sort of clinging vine, then a kitchen where some rambler roses twine, then a small room, tea set of blue. Best of all room, dream room for two. Better than a palace with a gilded dome is a love nest you can call home. Tonight I heard the dying duck quack. I jumped so high, nearly broke my back. Its mournful cry filled me with alarm. The dying duck in the thunderstorm. My heart knows where the dying duck knows, and I dry my eyes and I blow my nose. Live duck, dying duck, roast duck too. If you were hungry, you'd kill him too. The roost is warm, but my cupboard's bare. My wife loves that duck, but I don't care. When she wakes to prepare our chuck, she'll find poor critter a roasted duck. My heart hard nose, with a dying duck nose, and I dry my eyes and I blow my nose. Live duck, dying duck, which is best? A dadgum duck or a Build-A-Bear? My woman was kind and true to me. She says she loves me, and that could be. She loves that duck like a long-lost son, but a duck is better when it's cooked well done. Let her fly, let her fly, let her fly, let her fly. My heart knows with a dying duck knows, and I dry my eyes and I blow my nose. Live duck, dying duck, roast duck too. If you were hungry, you'd kill him too. The crops are growing, but I can't wait. My stomach says it's a getting late. When she goes to that duck's nest, she'll find a feather. We ate the rest. My heart knows with a dying duck knows, and I dry my eyes and I blow my nose. Live duck, dying duck, which is best? A dadgum duck or a field on best? Dead duck!
Ellie Mae is such a beautiful girl. I wonder why she's not married.
She's 18. She's too old.
Now Ellie Mae's 18 years old.
I'll meet a light woman, I'm told.
When you meet the right man, you quick marry him.
Now that your chances is slim.
Don't worry, Pop. One of these days I'll be getting hitched.
Ellie, I told you 1,000 times, before you get hitched, these things you got to know about courting and sparking and birds and bees.
Oh, Pow, I know the birds and the bees. I learned that when I was young. The bees is the little ones.
That's all you know. Ellie, you're gonna get stung.
That's right, Granny. Ellie, the way them big city men are beginning to look at you, we've got to have an answer.
Can you tell about the birds and the bees? We gotta know now if you can.
I'm fixin' to marry a bird or a bee. I'm fixin' to marry a man.
She's right. I never thought of that.
Granny, take over and learn her something.
Ellie, there's a difference in men. They're city men and country men. And in the city, a woman traps a man different. Now, the first rule is, Ellie may play hard to get, though they say they love you a lot.
You know that if I not play hard to get, I'm feared that I'll never get got.
Get me my jug, Jethro.
I'm ready for sparking now, Pa.
No, Ellie, you jumped the gun. You don't spark first. You court first. In fact, he'll court you.
Well, how'll I know if he's a courting?
He'll wear courting clothes and have his hair slicked and be toting a box of candy.
Well, gosh, while he's a courting, what do I do, Pal?
Well, first take him into the parlor. Then you both sit down on the couch. You on the one end, him on the other.
If he reaches for you, just yell out.
Yeah.
And I'll come a-running and save you.
Yep, Granny, we'll be right there in the parlor behind the curtains. On the first night of courting, it's the code of the hills. A girl and a fella is never left alone.
Oh, that lesson. Granny learned me.
Now, Ellie, what really happens when you're out with a big city fella?
Well, Pa, for instance, I went riding through the hills with a city fella. Then, suddenly, the engine stopped. He said, Ellie Mae, we's out of gas. And out of that car, I hopped. I run down the road just as fast as I could, but that city fella sure was mean. Instead of glad, he was mad when I come running back, toting a can of gasoline.
No wonder you was mad. You left him sitting there alone. That's not playing the courting game right.
Next time that happens, you don't run for gasoline. You jump out of the car, get behind it, and push.
Can you tell about the birds and the bees? We gotta know now if you can.
I'm not fixing to marry a bird or a bee. I'm fixing to marry a man.
She's not fixing to marry a bird or a bee. She's fixing to marry a man.
Two-ton fella. I'm Alexander the Swooth, and I'm so confused.
The other geese just laugh at me and call me a catastrophe.
Swoos, swoos, Alexander is a swoos. Swoos, swoos, Alexander is a swoos. Half swan, half goose, Alexander is a swoos.
Whenever they play hide and seek, they say my pappy was a swan, a good-for-nothing vagabond.
Swoos, swoos, Alexander is a
swoos. Swoos, swoos, Alexander is a swoos.
Big beak,
big beak,
Alexander is a freak.
They're so unkind, but I don't mind their slander. I'm just disturbed because I heard
gonna cook my goose in gander.
Guess I'll have to run away. I know what they'll do if I stay. I'd rather be a refugee instead of chicken fricassee.
Now, Doris, maybe you can tell me what a swoos is.
Well, now you just listen here to me and I'll tell you. Alexander the Swoos is a composite bird, faintly resembling Mortimer Snurd and Bold Donald Duck, only very much grander. For he isn't a dummy, a drake, or a gander. He's old for his age and small for his size. Has Garbo's big feet and Canter's big eyes. The beak of Durante, the mouth of Joe Brown, and a Harpo Marx wig made of pink eiderdown. Rochester's voice, the curves of Mae West, and the stars and stripes tattooed on his chest.
Swoos.
Don't go to bed with no price on your head. No, no.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Yeah. And keep your eye on the sparrow. When the going gets narrow, oh,
don't do it.
Don't do it. Where can I go where the cold winds don't blow?
Bird watching. Bird
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO, Medford. I remain Belinda, and this continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. With some amount over 2 hours of hopefully fairly silly radio programming. It's all for you this evening. You, the listener. If you have a computer with a webcam and you don't use it, why not cover that camera up with a piece of opaque tape? In addition to government programs, there's plenty of other malware and viruses that can hijack the computer's camera to spy on you. I know what you're doing. You don't want anybody to see that. So if you don't use it, consider covering it up. That's a public service message from your good friends here at WMFO in Medford. Now, I'm not saying I'm looking, and that's how I know. I'm just saying I got a feeling. And you all tell me over there at the Bubbles in the Think Tank Facebook chat group, where hopefully no one is sending any kind of virus or malware your way at this present time. Or any time, for that matter. Not just now, ever. I never want for you to be infected. We have so much more silliness to go. Then we'll jump into the radio obituaries. And then we'll wrap it up. That's just kind of how the show goes. That makes it sound like it's almost over, but it's not. So, don't you worry. Don't worry. I felt so bad last week when Athena lost the stream that I wanted to make sure that I got something in this show just for her tonight. So here it is. It's a little something from the Everly Brothers right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
me if you can. I know another song like this. It's called Sing a Song of Sixpence. Let's sing that one now. To set before a king. The king was in his counting house, counting out his money. The queen was in the parlor, eating bread and honey. The maid was in the garden, hanging out the clothes. Along came a blackbird and pecked off her nose. Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye. 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. When the pie was open, dish to set before a king.
Thrushed the beak. From our limited perspective, humans and humans alone make rhythmic mistakes. Birds, wind, water, and earth display impeccable timing, rising to the level of art without any concern towards doing so. Humans rush the beat, or unwittingly fall behind. Do other creatures, monoliths, and energy vortexes do the same? We only notice when it inconveniences or hurts our desires.
Well, this is a brand new song. We've never done this one before, so we'll give it a shot here. Try my good old drink. Any more jokes? We need a joke. Do worms have ears? I was sitting outside today. Big old ears. I mean, I yelled at a worm today and he ignored me, so I guess he doesn't. But I don't know what I was yelling about. I'm usually nice to worms. In fact, I'm always nice to worms. I don't fish, you know. I use spinner bait. No, I don't fish. I love worms. All right, this one's called Bluebirds in Michigan. Speaking of worms. Songs are pretty short, so.
I'd like to take you now on wings of song, as it were, and try and help you forget, perhaps for a while, your drab, wretched lives. Here's a song all about springtime in general, and in particular about one of the many delightful pastimes the coming of spring affords us all.
Here, a submarine is here. Life is skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring.
I do, don't you?
Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. So if someday you're free, why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
Thank you. I do wood carving, and you know, most carvers do animals. Horses, sheep, cows, you know, all kind of animals. I have a whole shelf full of animals. I quit on animals. I do artworks. I copy artworks. My most recent one was a piece that's in the Metropolitan Museum. A Greek lady that's 4,000 years old. And I'm working on a more voluptuous nude now, too. A fellow by the name of Weiner, an artist, and in a book there was a picture of this torso he made, front and back. Well, I made this torso, and it was really interesting. I go to a wood carver's club, a big wood carver's club. It covers the whole area. Ducks are a big thing. See, making ducks is a big operation. You can make a lot of money on ducks. They're sold all over the country for as much as $15,000. Anyway, their whole conversation for the whole meeting was ducks, ducks, ducks. And I was sitting there, and I can't stand the sight of ducks. So finally, there was a lull in the conversation. I got up and said, I hate to say this, but I can't stand the sight of ducks. And before they could say anything, I said, do you want to see something interesting? And I held up my nude torso. Well, the place went wild. Disrupted the whole thing, my torso, the nude, because they never made anything like that. But I got a couple friends out of it. Guys came over and they said, gee, I gotta see this. And they were the nucleus of a club that I organized in Cobb County, a woodcarver's club that meets every Thursday afternoon. And no ducks. No ducks.
Your knees. breath subsides. Another day with the wolves behind you. Another case of woe is me. The war is at your knees. Standing right in front of me. Got to face the burden.
Let it free.
Face the burden. And what the world longs to see is just a standing right in front of me. Got to face the burden. Let it free. To see, take the burden. Set it free.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO, Medford.
Hello, I wish to register a complaint. Hello, miss.
What do you mean, miss?
I'm sorry, I have a cold. I wish to make a complaint.
Sorry, we're closed for lunch.
Never mind that, my lad. I wish to complain about this parrot, what I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
Oh, yes, the Norwegian blue. What's wrong with it?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it, my lad. He's dead, that's what's wrong with it.
No, he's resting.
Oh, matey, I know. I know a dead parrot when I see one, and I'm looking at one right now.
No, he's not dead. He's resting. Remarkable bird, the Norwegian blue, isn't it? Hey, beautiful plumage.
The plumage don't enter into it. He's stone dead.
No. He's resting.
All right, then. If he's resting, I'll wake him up. Hello, Mr. Polly Parrot. I've got a lovely fresh cuttlefish for you if you
saw it.
No, he didn't. That was you hitting the cat.
I never.
Yes,
I
you
never,
did.
I never did a thing.
Hello, Polly. Testing. This is your 9 o'clock alarm call. Now, that's what I call a dead parrot.
No. Now he's stunned.
Stunned?
Yeah! You stunned him just as he was waking up. Norwegian blue stun easily, Major.
Now, look, mate, I've definitely had enough of this. That parrot is definitely deceased. And when I purchased it not half an hour ago, you assured me that its total lack of movement was due to it being tired and shagged out following a prolonged squawk.
Well, he's probably pining for the fjords.
Pining for the fjords? What kind of talk is that? Look, why did he fall flat on his back the moment I got him home?
The Norwegian blue prefers kipping on his back. Remarkable bird, isn't it, Squire? Lovely plumage!
Look, I took the liberty of examining that parrot when I got it home, and I discovered the only reason it had been sitting on its perch in the first place was that it had been nailed there.
Oh, well, of course it was nailed there. If I hadn't nailed that bird down, it would have muscled up those bars, bent them apart with its beak, and boom!
Boom? Mate, this parrot wouldn't boom if you put 4 million bolts through it. He's bleeding demise.
No. He's pining.
He's not pining. He's passed on. This parrot is no more. He has ceased to be. He's expired. and gone to meet his maker. He's a stiff, bereft of life. He rests in peace. If you were nailed into the perch, he'd be pushing up the daisies. His metabolic processes are now history. He's off the twig. He's kicked the bucket. He's shuffled off this mortal coil, run down the curtain, and joined the bleeding choir invisible. This is an ex-parrot.
Well, I'll better replace it then. Sorry, Squire, I've had a look around the back of the shop and we're right out of parrots.
I see, I get the picture.
I got a slug.
Pray, does it talk?
Not really.
Well, it's only a bloody replacement, is it?
Do you want to come back to my place?